Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will look at Quran chapter 16, verses 49 through 51. In these verses, we'll learn about the worship in Islam. I know Muslims all the time in the West claim that we worship the same God. Allah is God and God is Allah. And we do not believe in two different gods as some claim, like Mr. Dakdok. That's not true. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. And we have seen that throughout the of the Quran. Maybe Muslims are saying that because they have sincere heart and they do not know what is written in their Quran. The God of the Bible is a triune God: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Allah, the God of the Quran, is one God without Son, without Spirit, as we have seen in our study concerning the Spirit of Allah in the Quran. So here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 16, verse 49, and to Allah all that is in the heavens and on the earth worship, from creature and the angels, and they are not proud. They fear their Lord from above them and do what they are commanded. And Allah said, do not take two gods. Surely He is only one God. So to me, so fear. In his interpretation, the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari stated that only to Allah is the worship of every creature, that is, every animal, everything that moves on the earth. The word in the Arabic language is dabbatun. And the angels, they are worshiping Allah as they are subdued to His commands. They are not proud, but they are worshiping Him in humiliation, in obedience. The opposite of that, Al-Tabari stated, are the infidels, who are proud. They choose not to be subdued to Allah, because they do not believe in the hereafter. Their hearts are proud. Obviously, we can believe that all creation declares the work of God, but not all creation worship God. Rocks do not worship God. Trees do not worship God. Dogs do not worship God. Pigs do not worship God, even though they are creatures and they walk on the earth. The worship of God, as we see in the scripture, it is from humans and from angels. And we cannot generalize it, meaning that all the humans and all the angels are worshiping God. Why? Because we know not all the humans believe in God. And so also not all the angels worship God. For we know that the devil was an angel and he chose not to worship God. As a matter of fact, he was so prideful that he wanted himself to be in the same position as God, to be worshipped. And he took with him out of heaven one third of the angels. And these are what we call the evil angels, the demonic spirits. Now, for Allah in the Quran to say that every dabba, every creature on the earth worship Allah, that does not make any sense. Why? Because none of these creatures actually worship God. God created man to have fellowship with Him. God created man to worship Him. But some men refuse to worship God. But God did not create creatures to worship Him. Or Muslims have to admit that even unclean animals, as in the case of swine or pigs, they also worship Allah. How can we as human kill those who worship Allah? We kill the chicken and we kill the ducks and we kill the deer and we kill all these creatures to eat. Can you imagine with me if we are really limiting the number of the creatures who worship Allah by killing them? And at the same time, we claim to be godly people who worship Allah. This is the first fact. As for the second fact, when Allah and Al-Tabari use the word zul, zul is to be humiliated. Zul is to be disgraced. How can people and angels worship Allah in such condition? We worship God because we love Him. And we love Him because He loves us first. Not because we choose to be disgraced in our humility to worship him. There is one thing to be mutawada, which is humble. There's another thing to be mazlul, which is to be disgraced. These are not the same verbs to be used for those who believe in God and who want to worship God. Well, let's move on to the interpretation of verse 50, where Allah said, they fear their Lord from above them and do what they are commanded. Al-Tabri stated, those angels who are in the heavens and all that which are on the earth of creatures fear the Lord from above them, that he might torment them if they disobey his command. Can't you see the relationship between God, the worshiper, and those whom he created to worship him? It is not worship of love. It is worship of fear. It is worship of tremble. If it is the worship where in it Muslims know if they miss the prayer, they will be killed by other Muslims and tormented by Allah. When in reality, we know that in our Christian faith, according to the scripture, we worship without ceasing. We worship all day, all night, not because we are afraid of God, but once again, because we love him. And we love him because he loved us. How God loved us, it is how he reached out to us while we are lost, while we are yet sinners. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin, which is death. As the scripture said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Because we have received the greatest gift of all, our eternal life, we worship him. We worship because we love him, not because we're afraid of him, not because we're afraid of his torment for disobeying his command of prayer. And that is a huge difference between how Allah in the Quran treats his Muslim believers and how God treats the Christians, those who love him, those who worship him in spirit and in truth. What is so amazing about the Muslim prayer, my dear friends, is how meaningless it is. Why? Because Muslims must pray in the Arabic language, and it is repetitive prayer. 87% or so of the Muslim people all over the world are repeating these words as random repetition over and over and over again every day, 5 times a day. And what they say today, it is exactly what they're going to say next week. It is exactly what they're going to say the rest of their life. And sadly, Muslims do not even know what they're saying in the prayer, simply because they cannot understand the Arabic language. How many times in my life, overseas and even here in America, when I go to visit mosques all over this country, and I see the worshipers who come out of all these mosques after the Friday prayers, and I speak to them in the Arabic language, and I just simply say, good morning, how are you doing? I hope you had a wonderful time in your prayers today. And surprise, surprise, majority of those who come out of the mosque do not know what I'm saying. And I said to them, are you Muslim? They said, yes. Did you just pray in the mosque? In the English language, of course. They said, yes. What language did you use to pray? Oh, we prayed in the Arabic language. Do you understand in Arabic? Well, you know. And they smile or they laugh. Why? Because they could not even understand me talking to them, saying good morning and how are you? Can you imagine that with me? When you go to Quran chapter 9 and verse 5, here is the order of Allah. Here is the command of Allah. And if Muslims disobey it, as Al-Tabri stated, Allah will torment them. What is the command of Allah? In the final words of Allah, Quran chapter 9 verse 5, that is known by all Muslim scholars as the verse of the sword, not flower, not love, but sword. Allah stated, so when the forbidden months are passed, these are the 4 months which Arabs used to live in harmony with one another. And they call it forbidden months because they made a covenant with one another that during these 4 months, all the Arabs who live in the Saudi Arabia Peninsula must live in peace. Here in the Quran, Allah said, when these 4 months are passed, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them. Here's the true nature of the Muslim believers. They just kill polytheists wherever they find them. And then he said, and take them as captives and besiege them and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. Wow, what a loving, peaceful relationship the Muslim believers have with their neighbors, the Jews and the Christians and Sabaeans and others. So here is the answer, the rest of the verse. So if they repent, what is repent? Repent is to convert to Islam. And perform the prayer. Oh, here is the performing of the prayer. While they are subdued, while they are humiliated, they must worship Allah through the prayers and bring the legal alms. Even the giving in the mosque is not because Muslims give it cheerfully. No, it is part of the command of Allah. So leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Where is the mercy of Allah? Where is the forgiveness of Allah? It is when people convert to Islam and those people pray to Him and bring the legal alms. What happened when people say, okay, I'm going to believe in Allah. I'm going to believe in Muhammad. But I'm not going to pray. And I'm not going to give the legal alms. They are dead.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Literally, Muhammad and his companions with him and after him killed any Muslim who chose to be a Muslim without praying or without giving the legal alms. Imagine that was me. You go to church on Sunday and there'll be two men standing next to you to see how much money you put in the offering plate. And if you give any less than the 10%, they will drag you outside the church and they cut off your head. Or imagine with me, you're a member in some church and you miss Sunday. And you missed the other meeting on Wednesday. And that's when the warning come to you. You better show up in the next prayer because otherwise we will kill you. And no kidding, they will behead you and your family because you choose to leave the prayer. Because now you are an apostate. You left Islam. This is a prayer in Islam. It's not people worshiping and praying to Allah because they love Him and because they believe in Him. No, because it's an order. Allah commands them and they do what they are commanded. That is exactly what we read in Quran chapter 16 and verse 50. They fear their Lord from above them and do what they are commanded. The prayer is a command. Where do we read it? In Quran chapter 9 verse 5, as well as any other place you can imagine in the Quran. If Muslims today would practice Sharia, Islamic law, the right way, which is the only way acceptable by Allah as He commands them in the Quran and Muhammad as He commands them in the Hadith. Every time a Muslim miss a prayer, they will bring him the warning. You better show up in the mosque in the next prayer. And if he or she do not show up to pray, they cut off their heads. It may sound like I am exaggerating or I'm being ridiculous here, but that's exactly what the teaching of Sharia, what the teaching of Islam is. And I challenge Muslims to correct me if I am wrong. Now let us examine the worship in Christianity. Those who worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which Muslims do not know too much about, because obviously the Trinity, which Muhammad erroneously rejected in the Quran, it is not the Christian Trinity, but it is something made up in his head. That is the worship of the Father and the Mother and the Son, as stated in Quran chapter 5 and verse 116. That is when Allah said to Isa, son of Mary, "O Isa, son of Mary, did you say to the people, 'Take me and my mother as two gods other than Allah'?" That is a false trinity which Muhammad rejected in the Quran. As Allah gave us a new command in Quran chapter 16 and verse 51. As Allah stated, and Allah said, do not take two gods. Surely he is only one God. So to me, so fear. Once again, the pronouns in these verses throughout the Quran does not make any sense. As you read Allah speaking directly, and at the same time he changed to the third person. This is the comedy of the words of Allah in the Quran. In his interpretation, Al-Tibri said that Allah was speaking to his servants, and he said to them, do not take a partner, O people, and do not serve them. Do not serve two masters, because if you served with me anyone else, you made him a partner to me. And there is no partner to me. Surely he is Allah, one, to be served alone. And I am that. Allah did not stop there, but he actually added a very important command, which fit with every time Allah speaks to the Muslim believers. And that's when he said, so to me, so fear. Or to me, so terrify. Live in tyranny as you worship me. Live in tyranny as you serve me. Live in tyranny as you continue to believe in me. What kind of God is that? This is Allah, the God of Islam. Now let me share with you a very important account we know of from the teaching of the Bible. That is in the book of John chapter 4. When Jesus met with the Samaritan woman, Jesus was at the well of Jacob. In John 4:7, he said to that woman, give me a drink. The woman was surprised because he's a Jew and the Jewish people do not talk with the Samaritan. Obviously, we know why. Because the Samaritan are mixed blood. They are Gentiles mixed with Jews and they were rejected by the good spiritual Jewish people. Those who worship God as they see fit. Jesus answered her in verse 10 and said, if you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you living water. She realized that Jesus did not have any bucket to draw water with, and she asked him if he is better than Jacob, who gave them that water and he drank from it. In verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Yes, indeed. You keep drinking the water you drink in, my dear Muslim friends, and you will continue to be thirsty. But if you drink from the living water, which our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ can give you, not only you will not be thirsty again, but you will be a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In verse 15, the Samaritan woman told Jesus, give me this water so I do not have to come back again here. Well, Jesus asked her a personal question. In verse 16, that's when he said, go call your husband and come here. Well, here is a confession. I do not have a husband, she said. Jesus said, you answered right. Why? For in verse 18, he said, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. Now we're going to go to a spiritual talk, which fit perfectly with our study for today. In verse 19, the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers, in verse 20, she said, worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Where should we worship? Here or there? In verse 21, Jesus answered, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Do Muslims really worship God? By repeating words in the Arabic language as prayers 5 times a day, facing Mecca, which is an amazing thing because, as we know, the earth is not flat, my dear Muslim friends. You could not face Mecca from America because, obviously, Mecca is under your feet. If you're standing worshiping towards the east, you are actually worshiping towards Mars or some other planet, but not Mecca. Where are you worshiping? And who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the Father? In spirit and truth, not in repeating words in the Arabic language, which most of you do not know. Once again, God did not create us to worship Him by force, but in a loving way, in spirit and truth. This is the kind of worship God the Father is seeking. As for the statement of the Quran, do not worship two gods. This is obviously continuation of the misunderstanding of what Muhammad thought the Christians are worshiping. He thought they're worshiping Jesus and his mother, as we have read in Quran chapter 5 and verse 116. Maybe some Christian taught Muhammad, no, we don't worship two, but we worship one God in three persons. And that's when Muhammad said, stop from saying three in Quran 4, 171. You see, Muhammad did not know the true worship among the Christians, and who the Christians are worshiping. And that's why you see these errors repeated over and over again throughout the Quran. My heart's desire is to see Muslims seeking the Father and worship Him in spirit and truth. And the only way you can do that, it is to know His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of our sin when He was nailed to the cross to die for you and I, and by believing in Him, that He died and He was buried and He rose again. That is when we truly worship God in spirit and truth. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.